Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. I'm your host, Matt Willis, and welcome to a new year of the Big Three. Super excited to get back into the routine of asking those deeper questions from our Sunday message. And so it seemed only right that for the return episode of 2021, that I would be joined by none other than the incredible Jessica Baker. Jessica Baker, how do you do?
I do well. I'm so pumped to be back.
It is a sheer delight.
Great to be back in front of the microphone. Always like my day in the spotlight.
Tell us, obviously 2020 is behind us, Jesus. Yeah. Hopes and dreams for the year ahead, 2021.
Oh, gosh. Look, I have one big hope and dream.
Yeah.
I have been waiting 6 months on a waiting list and I just want a dog.
I just want a dog. Wow.
I know. It's going to be like another 6 months. So if anyone at GBC is a Labradoodle breeder, could you please get in contact with me? Please, I'm desperado.
Why does it take so long to get a dog?
I don't know.
Do they not feel that
it's
you're
as if
a
you
fit
can't
carer?
Just smash out pregnancies for these poor little doggos one after the other. You've got to give them time to recover and so annoying.
Maybe they're just like they're ghosting you. Maybe they're gaslighting you kind of like, oh, yeah, there's a really long wait list, but really they're like, do not give that person a living creature to care for.
Speaking of living creatures, I'm really sad. Gary, the the youth mascot.
The goldfish.
The goldfish has passed.
May you rest
cry
in
thinking
peace.
Thinking about it. Yeah, after 3 long years.
Wow.
Yeah, with me as the youth mascot, ordained to do the Lord's work. Only we know what I'm talking about here and some of the youth if you listen, but yeah, Gary's dead.
And that's the reason why they just don't trust you with a Labradoodle, I think.
I think 3 years keeping a goldfish alive is pretty impressive.
I'm pretty sure they're meant to live for a lot longer.
I did Google as he was dying the lifespan and it said something like 10 years.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no. Sorry, well, Gary. You lived a good life.
It just seems like those hopes and dreams may just continue to be just hopes and
dreams. Well, we'll see. I'll replace Gary with a dog and we'll see how long we can keep him alive for.
Sweet Lord. Well, in a moment, we're going to be joined by Mark Rader, who preached during our services this Sunday. Jess and I will be putting the big three questions to him as we dive deeper into the invitation from this week's sermon. Now, for those of you who missed it, Mark launched this year's theme for GBC on Sunday, and the theme is Go and Make Disciples. It's really been the heart of the church leadership to really spend this year focusing and sowing into our own personal discipleship, as well as participating in the call to make disciples. And you can listen to that message again through our regular GBC Sermons podcast, which I strongly recommend because it was a cracker. But for now, Jess, I'm interested on your thoughts coming out of Mark's message on Sunday.
Yeah, I am all for this sermon. I thought it was a banger. I just really love the direction that we're going in this church and the vision that Mark has for us. And, you know, it made me think really, really deeply. And the biggest thing I was thinking about is, where am I in that swimming pool? Am I playing Marco Polo? Am I holding my breath? And I thought, no. I'm the chickie with the towel wrapped around her waist pretending to be a mermaid, just frolicking around. So I really liked that imagery.
Really? I would have thought that, like, because the FOMO is so strong with you, that you would just be, like, jumping between all the things.
Potentially, but with the mermaid tail, carrying on the theme throughout, just wanting to be a part of everything. But no, I have felt like it's a little bit scattered, our church and our ministries and our vibe. So it will be great to kind of get together and make that whirlpool happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about you, Matt?
I think discipleship, like this, the fact that we're spending this whole year on it, there is so much that we can experience through this focus. And I think, you know, when we talk about discipleship, and obviously the theme is called Go Make Disciples. And so there is a part where there's an invitation to be involved in something and to do something. And I think that that's obviously super important. And there is going to be a time in this year where we get to that. But I kind of stepping back a little bit, I really saw the invitation where this is also a moment where I get to really sow into my own discipleship and where my own faith is at and really get to grow and experience the fullness of what faith is for me and in my life. So I actually got really excited about, hey, if I start doing this and start really committing to this, I'm going to reap the benefits just as much as people around me. And I got really excited about, well, what's that going to mean for my own personal walk with Jesus, and how much am I going to grow in this if I really kind of stand to the commitment that Rita called us into on Sunday. So selfishly, I was like, well, this is going to work really well for me. So.
But in the same like token, doing it together, all like getting stuck in, doing the hard work early on, and then kind of seeing where that takes us all.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Well, I think it's time for us to start looking at the big three questions submitted through Slido this week. So Jess, what are we going to be looking at?
The questions are pretty good this week. Question one, why is discipleship the focus for our church community in this season? So just starting off with the kind of what's the reason behind
It was a cracker sermon. Yeah. Tell us where that has come from.
Yeah, for sure. Question two, how do we begin to let go of those misconceptions that we may not be good enough, Christian enough, or equipped enough to participate in discipleship?
Story of my life.
And look, even knowing how low the bar is set with the disciples, I just still think I'm not good enough. So let's just get rid of those misconceptions. Question three, what do you believe we'll see in our faith community after a year of being purposeful about discipleship?
Yeah, I'm really pumped for that. And I don't know about you, but I like knowing where I'm headed. Tell me what it's going to be like, and then that helps me kind of stay on the path, I think. So that'll be super helpful for us to hear from Rita. Well, I think there's only one thing missing, and that is the man himself, Mark Rita. Welcome to the big three.
Thanks, Matt.
No worries.
Mark, you've got to match our energy level. You've really got to come up.
Oh, okay. I'm so pumped.
Just remember you are excited to be here. Now, Rita, just to, you know, I think 2020 gets a hard go, and rightfully
it didn't get a good grade this year.
No.
it's brought the whole curve down to the millennium.
It was an epic fail, like, let's be real. But, you know, let's just flip it on its head. What's something that you're thankful for that came out of 2020? And it can't be the fact that it was another year working with me. Like, I think that's just the given.
That was the top of the list. Yeah,
top sure. of the list. Amen.
That's an absolute given. well, this is going to sound awful, but it's true. So last year in 2020, it was kind of the year of kind of major birthdays. So we had a 16th and 18th, the 21st and my 50th.
Sounds expensive.
Nicole and I were actually really quite grateful for the restrictions on the number of people who could be in the house. Because early in the year, plans were like, we should have like 200 people over. And we're like, no, we can't have that many people over. And then, you know, even negotiating down to 100, it's like, no. And then the restrictions, like, we're like, oh.
Five.
Oh, no. This is awful. Only 30? What a bummer, but have to be trustworthy. So it ended up kind of working out really well for us. And then gave me an excuse when I had my 50th because I don't think I know 30 people. So I was able to just kind of go, you know, hey, you know, it's COVID. I would have had something bigger, but you know, so it's kind of a good cover across the board.
Yeah, for sure. The introvert in you well and truly flourished.
That's right. Just like, we're all good here.
Me and Matt over here were just crying at home without our 200 people.
But my birthday was in April and it was like right when we hit like the Easter restrictions that we kind of got in the year. And I remember it was a work day. I just sat in my bedroom on my desk doing work, and then like we got takeout and that was it. Yeah. And I was just like, I was just Bridget Jones singing all by myself.
Well, I mean, you know, like I have to say that the birthday parties that we ended up having were like, they were really lovely. Like, you know, like, you know, you've been in parties where there's 100 people and you just, you can't talk to everybody. You can't hear yourself think. And having 30 was actually my reflection on the outside of those parties in some degree, just as the host, was that they were like really nice because there was enough people to feel like a vibe.
Yeah.
Enough people to kind of go, yep, these are my people. Mm. But at the same time, you know, you could spend time with everybody and all that sort of stuff. So I thought it was great. And they all fit in the house. And
which is awesome. It's all good. Well, I think what I've taken from this is that when you turn 60, Jess and I will be expecting our invitations.
Definitely.
Am I right?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. We make the top 30, I would say.
I would say.
Open for a pen.
Naturally. Well, I think it's time to get into the big three.
All right.
So Mark, on Sunday you launched the big theme for the year, Go Make Disciples. And so it's no secret that the theme is about discipleship, but why is this the focus for our church community in this season?
I think to some degree, it's kind of a reflection on 2020. Like, what did 2020 give me? And I think from the perspective of the church, it highlighted a whole bunch of stuff. Like, once you took our regular meeting, like, we met every week, but we met online, very different feel, very different sense of engagement. And, you know, you hear through the grapevine that, you know, say some of our older folk, they struggled with the technology because it's hard to engage with, but it's the technology. But a lot of our young people and young adults struggled with it, not because the technology was too complicated, but just because everything they did was on Zoom and they're just kind of over it. And so you just kind of listening to those stories. And I think one of the things it highlighted for me was the sense that, what it brought into focus was the people that I was most concerned for were not our oldies, although I was concerned for them because we were kind of able to know who they were and kind of try to keep them engaged, nor for our young adults because we knew that there were some life groups starting and they had pretty good connections. The people that I was most concerned about were the people for whom, when our face-to-face on-site services finished, their discipleship shriveled. Those are the people I was most concerned for. And I didn't even know how to find them. Like, at least we kind of knew, you know, who are our youth and how many are coming on a Friday night to the Zoom youth ministry where are young adults at and, you know, all that kind of stuff. How are oldies going? You can kind of cover some of those bases, but the people whose discipleship just kind of fell off because they were, the only thing they had was a Sunday, I found really confronting. And, you know, like the idea of making disciples as a foundational work of the church. Now, that's not new. Like, it's not like I'm the first person to come up with that or, you know, like it's obvious. But what became clear is that in many ways, we've been about the work of discipleship more in word than in deed. I don't mean like our congregation. I mean, as a leadership, you know, I described it on Sunday as a DIY discipleship culture, right? So if a culture is how we do things, our culture of how we do discipleship is DIY. And there's all sorts of, I mean, there's strengths to that. It means that everyone kind of gets in their lane and does their thing and finds things that are useful and valuable and fruitful and meaningful for them. Great. Yeah. But it does mean that when people kind of, if they step into our community of faith and they think, oh, discipleship, what do you mean by that? That there's no real kind of pathway or, you know, as I talked about, a trellis or any of that kind of stuff for people to kind of go, oh, that's how you do this or whatever it might be. So I've just been really, I think, convicted as a leader that we needed to do more to be a church of like that created a discipleship culture in more than word, but indeed. And so that's kind of where it's come out of. So it's come directly out of 2020 in lots of ways for me.
Yeah. I think something that I've really appreciated. Now, obviously, things are still, as this year unfolds, the shape that this theme takes for us will also unfold. And so it's not to say that we know everything about how we're going to build the trellises, as you said, on Sunday, or, you know, support our wider community of faith in how to do discipleship, both for yourself, but also in making disciples. We don't have all the answers just yet. But something that I've been really encouraged with in the conversations that we have had as a leadership and as a staff is that very much kind of what you just said, which was the whole, sometimes it's been more word than deed. I feel like there's been a real shift where it's like, no, we're ready for the, like, we're going to do the deed. Like, there is a real, that commitment that you made about putting those trellises up and giving the infrastructure that really enables us to do discipleship, not just talk about it. There is a real commitment to that. And I guess, like, I wanted to acknowledge that because I was super encouraged by it. And I know that there are plans in the works and intrigue, like there will be no spoiler alerts here, but, like I'm super excited about it. And what that has demonstrated to me is a real like, yes, we're actually going to do this. We're not just going to be a church that talks about discipleship because it becomes one of those Christian hot words that you just kind of throw out every now and again. And it's like, discipleship, yeah, we should do it. We should make them do it yourself, as you say. Yeah. But now it's like, no, we're going to shake things up a little bit and things are going to start to look a bit different for us. And it might actually push us out of our comfort zone, but that's really important.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for me, I think the image of the pool, the whirlpool thing, I think that's really captivated my imagination. Cause I think that's essentially the heart of what I hope to see really is that we'll be doing discipleship. We'll be following Jesus together, just a little bit more. I mean, you could say that people who come to the church and sit side by side on a Sunday or sit on their lounge together and watch the online service, I mean, yeah, they're following Jesus and we're kind of together. But I think I want to emphasize the together part.
Mm.
So I'm just really aware. I don't want to suggest to our congregation that I think that there's no discipleship happening or that people haven't been following Jesus and it's time to start. While at the same time acknowledging that for some people, their walk with God may have gotten pretty stale or they may have just kind of found themselves in the community of faith and never really been discipled. Mm. So I don't want to kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater. I also don't want to create a cookie cutter. This is how you must do it. Mm. But if we could just find ways to be following Jesus together, I think they'll have some remarkably powerful impact for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Super basic question. Yeah. Square one. We've already said it at least 100 times in this podcast already, but for those who do not know, what is discipleship? Like that word we throw around all the time, like you said, it's a Christian hot word. Like what does it actually mean? What does it look like?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, at one level, it's one of those things that it's super simple, and at another level, completely not simple, right? Like there's a complexity to it. But you know, some of the books that I've read, which have sought to define discipleship, which is kind of an interesting opening chapter in lots of ways in some of these texts. But they talk about it's simply about you know, it's growing in our faith in our relationship with Jesus.
Mm.
It's listening to Him and doing what He asks us to do.
Yeah.
So you kind of go, okay. You kind of like the disciples, you know, in the Gospels, they were to be with Jesus, so spend time with Him. They were to, you kind of spread His message. So when He sends them out, they're to preach the kingdom of God, just like He preached. So the things that He did, they were to do. And then He gives them authority to do the things that He did. So to be a part of bringing the kingdom to bear against the powers of this world.
Mm.
And so we're to be with Jesus, to grow in our faith and our trust of Him, to understand His message, participate in His mission as best we can. So yeah, one level, totally easy. What does that actually look like?
Yeah.
It's a little bit, I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that.
Mm.
And I think that discipleship has kind of taken on a little bit of an evangelism feel.
Yeah.
You know, where evangelism is seeing someone say yes to Jesus and we think, oh man, that's too big.
Mm.
And discipleship, you know, one of the other kind of consistent features in what I've read on discipleship is they talk about the multiplication, right? Disciples make disciples make disciples make disciples. And again, it feels to me like it almost gets narrowed down to, are you making a disciple? And it's like, holy, no. Like, I don't even know where all the books in my Bible are. Like, I'm not making anyone anything, you know? And so I think it can end up being so tightly defined, you know, bringing people to faith in Jesus or making other disciples that you're like, oh, I can't do either of those things. So and then we need to expand that.
Yeah. So for me, when you put it down like that, I feel like, you know, being with Jesus, growing in your faith, and then kind of copying what He does, that by myself sounds really intimidating, and I'm not a disciplined person. And so I've tried for 25 years to do that and to make disciplines and things, but it hasn't really worked. When you put me in a little whirlpool with other people and we're all doing it together, that sounds really achievable for me.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And I'd echo that, Jess. I mean, one of the things that I've realized over the last, probably in the last couple of years, really, which seems like awfully late in the piece to realize this, but anyway, I find praying by myself really hard. Mm. Like if I have to pray and you say, can you pray for an hour? I'd be like, oh my goodness, like maybe, but like, it's going to take everything I've got. I'm going to get distracted a million times. I'm going to have big, big chunks of silence where I'm like, I have no idea. I'm out of things to pray about, which again seems ludicrous in the world we live in. But I find praying with other people really satisfying and really quite significant in my walk with the Lord. Like I find that's where there's life in that process. Mm. And so I think the idea that there are some personal disciplines that I think, are A, important for us to develop, but B, that will be a little bit more in line with who we are, if that makes some sense. Things that we kind of go, oh yeah, that's easy for me. Like I enjoy that. And then there's some things that I think are best done with other people. And while, you know, I still need to pray on my own, I'm looking for opportunities to pray with other people because that's where I find that much easier and there's more life in it for me. So I think recognizing that sort of stuff is critical.
Yeah. And I think I think after the year that we've had, a call to discipleship and a call to doing it together.
That's
feels
right.
really good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Especially if we can do it face to face.
Yeah. That's right. Hold me. I think it's time to move on to question two. Well, Rady, you pointed out, and I love it whenever someone points this out because it does make me feel better about myself. I guess the flawed nature of the disciples, not just Judas in his betrayal, not just Peter in his denial, but the fact that all of them, you know, were just a bit of a hot mess, really. Bless them. Yep. Bless their hearts. Yep. Yep. And that sometimes, you know, we can think that the bar is really high, but when we look at the disciples, the people that Jesus, you know, chose to be his closest followers, Peter, who he said, you know, you will build the church, you know, the bar's actually not as high as we think, which is encouraging. It's nice to hear. Yep. But, you know, I think we all still kind of hold on to some of those ideas that, oh, I'm not good enough for this yet, or I'm not Christian enough. And so this question is, I think it's helpful to be really how-to focus. You know, how do we begin to let go of those misconceptions that we may not be good enough, Christian enough, or equipped enough to participate in discipleship?
Yeah.
You told us that we should let go of them.
Yeah, that's
how
right.
do we do that?
Well, I mean, I think one of the places to start is, I think, even kind of to reflect more on the example of the disciples. Because, you know, ultimately when the Spirit was poured out on them and they kind of finally got it, God did some amazing things to their lives. So I think there is that, you know, for us, there's a future and a hope. There's a destiny that it's more than, oh, we can get over that low bar, but that's all that's required of us. No. Yeah. There's opportunity to grow and whatnot. But I think, you know, and I preached on this before, I think it's fascinating that when Jesus calls the disciples, he doesn't demand that they believe in him. He doesn't demand that they change their life right away. He doesn't demand that they know certain things about him. He just says, follow me. And if you follow, particularly, say, in the Gospel of Mark, although it's evident in Luke and Matthew as well, there's kind of a turning point in the Gospel where Peter has this confession. It's where Jesus makes the promise that, you know, you'll build the church. Upon you, I'll build this church, or upon this confession. And it's the first time that any of the disciples has gone, you're the Messiah. Like, you're actually the Messiah, the very first time. And what's interesting is that before Peter's moment of inspiration, which he then follows up with getting it completely wrong. but even before he's come to this realization, Jesus has already sent them out to minister in his name and cast out demons and preach the kingdom. I love that part. So, like, again, like I've kind of almost play-acted it before. You know, you can imagine Peter and Andrew showing up at some town preaching the kingdom, and they're like, so who told you this, says someone in the crowd, and they're like, oh, a guy named Jesus. And I'm like, who's he? And they're like, we don't know. Like, we're not real sure. Like, he's pretty cool. Like, he does some pretty amazing stuff. We're pretty sure he's a prophet. We'll start there. But like, they hadn't got to the point of going, no, he's the Son of God. And Jesus sent them out on mission before they really fully truly knew who he was. I just find that gobsmacking. So I think there's lots for us to learn on that. I think the other thing is something I mentioned earlier. I think discipleship, like evangelism, has kind of been reduced to one thing, right? That the work of evangelism is seeing someone say yes to Jesus and praying the prayer and, right, coming down the front or whatever it might be. And discipleship, I think, can also be something that's just, we've reduced it to one thing. And, you know, so late last year, we embarked on a series through Plan A with Belinda Lakeland in association with the Baptist Association. And one, I think, the great values of what she took us through was that it was principle-based, but it really broke down evangelism. Right? It wasn't a matter of just, you know, obviously, it'd be lovely if someone decides to follow Jesus on our watch and we're there and kind of like a part of that. That'd be very, very cool. But, you know, just to kind of go, you know what? Your job in evangelism is not necessarily to get people to that point in every conversation. Sometimes it's enough just to be a good neighbor, to sow a seed that says, oh, you know, what'd you do on the weekend? I went to church. See if that goes anywhere. To care for those around you, to, you know, like, it's as simple as that. And I think discipleship, I think we need to kind of demystify it a little bit as
well. Absolutely.
Because I think if we sit there and think to ourselves, oh man, it's like totally following Jesus and being totally hardcore all the time and everything we do right from the get-go, it's like, oh man, I can't can't get there.
Yeah. You know, how do I flick that switch?
Like, yeah, I have a hard time being hardcore about anything for too long. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you lose interest over a while. It's like, ugh. You mean things that you know, like you, that are really, shall we say, that you're really, really passionate about. So, you know, I think we need to kind of break it down a little bit and say, look, discipleship is not as complicated as it might sound or as singular as it sounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, even things like the multiplication of disciples, I've been thinking a lot about that because if that becomes the mark, again, it feels like it's too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so how many disciples have I actually made? I'm like, oh, geez, I don't know if I've made any disciples, but I've contributed.
Yeah.
Like I know I've been a part of people's journeys. And, you know, I've begun to think about, you know, like in computer games or apps or whatever, where there's multipliers that multiply the score. You know, you hit a certain button or like, you know, for those of you old school, if you ever played pinball, right? You know, like there's like multipliers and then all of a sudden everything that you do gets multiplied for a certain period of time. And I've begun to think about multiplication as how do you multiply what you're doing? Like just how do you multiply what you're doing? Not to make more of it in the sense of like duplicate, but just multiply. You know, like, so, you know, for instance, you know, when we're reading the Bible, what's a multiplier of that? Well, it's to ask someone else if they'd like to read the Bible with you. And you're multiplying the impact of that. It's not just me having some time with God, although that's important, but it's us having some time with God. Or I'm going to go and serve as an extension of my relationship with Jesus, and I ask someone to join me with that. Or I do just a little bit more to multiply the impact of that. Like, I don't know, whatever it might be. So I think we need to break it down and kind of go basically just find ways to contribute, to help people think about Jesus, to follow him, to understand his teaching, to participate in his mission. And there are thousands of ways we can do that. And I think that makes it a little bit more attainable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the fact that you brought up plan A, because this is kind of what I was sharing with Jess about my reflections coming out of your message. Like plan A starts with growing.
Yep.
It starts with actually, what does your relationship with Jesus look like? And I, you know, plan A is an evangelism model.
Yep.
I think the same applies for our discipleship. And I think you're absolutely right. When we hear the term discipleship, and particularly when, you know, the Great Commission is so obvious, go make disciples. Yep. It's like, okay, well, when we're talking about discipleship, it means I have to go.
And defines them as you baptize them and teach them everything I commanded. Yeah. You kind of go, geez, that's pretty narrow.
Yeah, right. And but I think you're right, demystifying it and kind of breaking it down. And actually, like the first step for a lot of us, and I know it will be for me, is actually I need to sow into my own discipleship and really, because last year was hard, or you know people are having crisis of faith or whatever it might be. Maybe it's gone stale. Yeah. Like I'm just going to spend some time sowing into me and seeing my own personal growth in my walk with God, and then maybe once I've bear the fruit of that, the idea of contributing, the idea of potentially making a disciple doesn't feel so beyond my reach, because actually God's already been doing some really awesome stuff in my own life, and I'm already starting to experience that fullness that he promises us. My spiritual practices are far more fruitful in my own life.
Well, and remember though that when you model this, like, you know, for you and Sam with three boys, I mean, you are assisting in their discipleship. Like they get to watch what you're doing. They get to ask questions. They get to, you know, I mean, at their age, they have to kind of follow along with what you're doing. And you have an opportunity to kind of drive some stakes in the ground to create a bit of a family current for them. You know, and it's, I think it's actually a really good example, because, you know, we can't make the decision for our kids, but we can do the best we can to contribute to their discipleship in some way, shape, or form, in the hope that one day they'll kind of decide, yeah, I'm in on this. You know, so I think that there's lots of ways that we can multiply that, not just in our families, but in our church community, which is, I think, why I want, what I would love this to be more something that we do together in that space.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe this just means, like, if you know, asking someone to pray or read the Bible with you is too big, like if there's a connect group night, you know, it's been a long, hard week at work, actually getting out of your PJs, going and just showing up and having like a convo with someone is, you know, is doing what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we need to be really quite intentional or on purpose, to use our language, about making sure that what we do is kind of connected to discipleship.
Yeah.
You know, so think about, you know, serving, you know, in youth ministry and, you know, as you have Jess, or in another area of the church to kind of go, how do we help? Like, how do I help you, for instance, think about that service as an expression and an extension of your relationship with Jesus rather than we just really need your help.
Mm.
So that's partly on me as a leader to basically say, we believe that service is one of the ways that we express our love for Jesus because it's the model that he gave for us. So how do I help kind of frame up opportunities to serve internally and externally as a discipleship activity to help each of us kind of go, oh, I'm doing this because I'm a follower of Jesus, not just because I'm a nice person.
Mm.
And just kind of go that one extra step, you know? So why are you going to the Connect group? You know, like it's, well, I'm going because I want to encourage other people.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? I'm going to be there. And if I'm there, I know that it's more likely that maybe a couple of other people will become because then they'll have a friend.
Mm.
Off we go. So yeah. I think just trying to connect that stuff is really important too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Shifting a little bit more from what can I get out of this? I just want a fun time or whatever to know I'm actually going intentionally for this purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. To help others. I want to get the whirlpool going.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go. Yeah, I'm tired. It's been a long day and I'm carrying some stress and I'll probably regret it tomorrow when my alarm goes off. But you know what? This is what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, after a year where all of our rhythms kind of got thrown out the window, that like, I think we need to be on purpose again to like establish those rhythms again. And you know, this is a call to do it together. And so if we're going to do that, we need to get back into the rhythm of being present with each other.
That's so true what you said. I think I was expecting after a year of being away from church that I'd just jump in full excited. Mm. But actually it's a real effort to get to church on a Sunday now. You just think like, you know, a couple of weeks ago I would have been in bed already. And so like it's been a real push, like an intentional, no, we're going to church now. Mm. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And amazing when we get there, but it's so out of my routine now. Mm.
And again, I think that mindset of we do it not because we need to do it, we do it because I'm going to grow in this and I know that, you know, I might be able to contribute to other people's growth as well.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. All right, let's move on to question three.
So we've started the beautiful year of 2022.
2021.
Sorry.
You're casting forward.
I am casting forward. I'm setting the scene.
I apologize. All right, I'm with you now.
I wish we were in 2022. I'd have my puppy by now. So hopefully the whole of GBC has jumped in the pool, right? We're going. And whatever kind of it looks like at the moment, whether we're still all just flailing about trying to get the current going or we're like floating headlong around the pool, hurtling with the current, what do you believe we'll see in our faith community after a year of being purposeful in our discipleship?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you the things that I hope to see. I'll tell you some of the things that I believe that we will see. And I don't know what the gap is, both in time and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as I mentioned on Sunday, you know, I think we can do certain things, but ultimately it's the work of the Spirit that's gotta happen if anything's really going to take place. But I think what I would hope to see is that we would become a really attractional community of faith because our DIY discipleship practices that I think largely sit under the surface, they're kind of assumed, right? It's almost, here's another metaphor. It's almost like we're, this doesn't work really, but a group of icebergs, right? There's all sorts of stuff that's happening underneath the surface, but you don't see it in our interactions. I think if we start to do things together, that will come to the surface and it'll just become more obvious that this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. And I would hope that that would be really attractional to people in the best sense of the word, that, you know, our friends would start noticing something different in us, like going, geez, you're really kicking on in your faith.
Mm.
That we'd start seeing people, you know, I'm not real keen on transfer growth from other churches, but, you know, people perhaps whose faith took a hit during 2020, kind of starting to drift back and going, oh, that there's some vibrancy there. I'd love to think that we'd see people explore faith for the same reasons.
Mm.
That again, our decision to follow after Jesus would become closer to the surface, in part because I know that I'm not alone in it anymore. And I know that, like, I know that I'm not. I'm sitting in a group of, you know, 50 people or whatever, masked or whatnot these days. And and I'm saying, okay, I know that you're all here because you're trying to follow Jesus in one way, shape, or form. But to actually have that really shared experience brings that to the surface. And I am emboldened then, because I'm not kind of struggling to become a disciple on my own, trying to chase after some unstated, unclear ideal, right? To become the Apostle Paul and start writing letters to churches and planting them all over the place. And, you know, like, just, you know, calm down. But, like, we're all just a little bit closer to following Jesus. I'd love to think that we would have, like, a really significant cohort of people who were here and just saying, listen, I love what you guys have. I have no idea who this Jesus guy is. I don't know what I believe about him. But I'm, like, I'm feeling swept along. I'm not going to help you walk around the edge, but I'm just going with it.
Yeah,
that's what I think ultimately I love to see. You know, I think from a 30,000 foot level, I think as a leader in a church and speaking to other leaders of other churches, I think that, you know, this is no surprise, but lots of the church in the West is still in decline. I think that would be certainly true in Australia in a particular way, different than Europe, different than North America, but we are in decline. And I think what we need is not better, fancier programs. I don't think we need flasher services. I don't think we need, you know, more specialized staff. I don't think that's the answer. I think the answer is really simple. We got to get back to the ABCs of it. We got to get back to the basics. And I think this focus on discipleship can, I think, attract people who want to grow in their faith and attract people who are interested in finding out more about Jesus. And that will just have a revitalizing impact on the church as a whole. And, you know, again, you know, I'm not the first person to talk about discipleship. I know that lots of other similar sized churches, like, this is the thing on their radar. It's discipleship. It's discipleship. Yeah. And I think it, you know, if I can digress for a moment, it has to do a little bit with the shift to a more missional approach. So, you know, for the last 10 or 15 years, there's been this general sense that, you know what, the church can't just be a fortress. We can't just expect people to come to us. We have to go to them.
Yeah.
And so there's been this deliberate focus of saying to our congregations and our communities, hey, the ministry's in your workplace. It's in your nursing shifts. It's in your, you know, the docs work. It's in whatever they call it now. You know, like, it's, you know, it's in your neighborhoods and your families. That's where the work is. But what we've then realized is that lots of people are going, I'm not equipped for that.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's been a, I wouldn't say a malaise, but there's been a sense that, no, I've just been doing my discipleship, following Jesus, but I come to church too. And so going out, it's like, oh, I'm not sure as churches that we've equipped people. We've just kind of gone, get out there and do the ministry. And people have kind of gone, you're joking. and I think that's on us as leaders to kind of go, actually, we need to focus on equipping people for that. So I think that they tie into each other and then they flow on from each other. So I think that what I believe that we will see, you know, whether we'll see by the end of, you know, by the end of this year, the start of 2022, you know, lots more people about the place, lots more energy and whatnot. I believe that even if, you know, even if it's the same people who are here, that there will be a greater sense that we are doing something together. I think that will contribute to our sense of community. I think it's one of the hot button issues that, you know, you often hear about. It's like, oh, I don't really feel super connected here. And I think one of the ways to do that in a large group of people is to have a common purpose.
Yeah.
I think the fact that it will, I would love to think that it'll be closer to the surface, you know, that there'll be some shared things that we do. I think will just help, as I said, embolden people to kind of go, yeah, I'm in this together. I think that it will also make it easier to talk about discipleship, because that's one of the big problems we have, right? You know, like, how many times have we said after a service, hey, you know, go have a cup of coffee or have dinner or whatever it is that's next and talk about the sermon? I don't know how many tables you've sat at in that time, but I know the ones, and maybe it's just because I show up, but no one talks about the sermon. They're talking about their weekend or their week or their work, and that's all well and good, but I think part of it is that it's a little bit awkward to kind of go, so, how's your relationship with Jesus? What sort of a question is that to ask a Christian? You know, like,
have you heard?
Right. It's a little bit confrontational.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if you kind of go, oh, you know, for instance, oh, you know, what'd you think of the message? Yeah, it was great. And are you going to take up any of the little options? Because that's one of the things we want to create. You know, here's some things to try for us to do together. And, you know, for someone to go, yeah, I'll do one of those with you. And decide on which one, and then you do that together. It gives you something to talk about. It just kind of brings it to the surface, makes it easier to talk about our faith with one another. And if we can't talk about our faith with each other, how are we going to talk to our neighbors or our family about it? Like, if I can't talk to people who I know are on my side, right, who believe the same stuff I do, if I can never get into a spiritual conversation with someone, we're, you know, well, there's a bit of a problem. So I think this will bring it to the surface. That's, I think that's my desire.
And can I just say on that, like, I mean, I've been in those situations where I'm like, this is awkward. Like, you know, it is the classic, now turn to the people next to you and answer these three questions. And we all kind of groan internally, right? Even the extroverts.
Whoa.
So we talk, but we just don't answer the questions that you told us to. Just a little insight.
I just turn to my husband. Yeah. It's always a safe protocol.
But having said that, I have had relationships with people where they've demonstrated to me, and I can think of one couple in particular, where there was a genuine and it was so sincere, this just openness to just talk about faith.
Yeah.
And it just kind of came in and out of conversation so naturally and so seamlessly that I couldn't help engage in it.
Be swept along
and,
with it.
And be swept along. Like, And I grew so much. And then I found myself just naturally participating in these conversations and then initiating these conversations myself. So, like, as the person who has totally done the, oh, this is awkward and I'll just ask you how your week's been, I feel that. I see that I've been there. It's better on the other side. When we are a community of people where you can just sit down and be like, oh, you know, I just feel like the Spirit's been, you know, prompting me in this in work at the moment. And it's just been really interesting seeing how that's kind of unfolded before me.
Yeah.
Man, I love those kinds of conversations. Yeah. Like, tell me more. Like, what was it like to feel the Spirit prompt you in that way? Yeah. Like, how have you seen that unfold? Like, what has that taught you? Like,
And Sundays may not be the time to do those conversations in all seriousness. There's a reason why people have small talk on a Sunday because I generally don't know people that well. But I think, you know, the idea of discipleship and following Jesus being closer to the surface, I think just makes it easier to potentially have those conversations, to have, you know, to ask some questions, to, you know, get at it in that sense. So I think that's what I would love to see. I'd also hope, you know, I think, you know, right, I guess, bottom line, so at the end of the year, when we ask people, so have you grown? Like, have you grown as a follower of Jesus? That they would go, I have. And I can point to it. I have a better understanding of the word. My discipline of prayer has changed. I've been part of a life group for the year for the first time. I'm taking up practical opportunities. I've been a little bit more conscious of listening to the Spirit and having some conversations at work that I would never have had before, like where they can actually point to areas where they go, yeah, I've actually grown. My faith has matured. I feel closer to Jesus, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Exciting things ahead. I'm keen to kind of debrief at the end of the year and maybe listen back to this episode and be like, so what actually did happen?
We all got wet. That's about as much as we can say. That's right.
And my freestyle is like on point. Well, Mark, thanks so much. Thanks so much for the message on Sunday. Thanks so much for sharing this vision and this direction for us as a church and leading us in that space.
Well, thanks for your excitement about it as well, because it's nice to know that's not just me. That's going to be a long whirlpool. Thanks, guys.
Oh, cheers. All my days, Jessica Baker.
Matt Willis.
Big things ahead.
Big things.
What, like, man, I feel like we talked about everything and anything. What's standing out for you now? Like, what are you feeling drawn to? What are you excited about? Like, I don't know. Just tell me something.
I think this has been really good. This whole concept of discipleship has just kind of been a concept to me. And I know we've been building up for months and months talking about it. This is happening. This is what we're gearing towards. And I'm just like, I don't know what this means. Yep. Like, discipleship is a word that I kind of get sometimes, but then think, oh, hang on, this is way bigger than I thought. Originally, I kind of got the vibe that it was just me going out and talking to people at work about Jesus. But actually, when you boil it down, it can just be really simple steps of going to that dinner or praying with that friend or just really little things that are quite achievable for us that make this whole thing really exciting for me and kind of giving direction of actually where we're going and what this can achieve. Yeah. And I love the end goal. So yeah. I'm all for it. I'm all in.
I'm in.
I'm already in the pool.
I'm in the pool. I got my togs on. Yeah. Goggles on.
I am ready. Yeah. What about you?
I think, and I'm still sitting in the same space that I was at the beginning of the podcast, where I'm really excited to start to develop my own spiritual practices.
Yeah.
I think I'm, you know, and I mean, I work at the church 5 days a week. Like, so even I felt some staleness come into my faith last year, and I just really want to, work on developing and growing in my own spiritual practices. Mm. And I now feel like I've got that, like that fire in my belly to be like, no, actually, like, a vision's been cast before me and I want that end game. Mm. I see it. And actually now I feel like I've got a drive to work at it, because it is work. It's not a switch that we just flick.
Yeah.
And if I want to see growth in my prayer life, if I want to be experiencing, you know, better revelation when I open the word, if I want to, you know, be hearing from the Spirit, like then I need to be working on that day in, day out. But now I've kind of, I don't know, I'm ready for it. And Mark didn't mention it, but we're about to start a new series in the Book of Revelations, because why not? Book of Revelations, but looking at the seven letters to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3, and we're releasing this discipleship menu after every week. And there'll be 6 activities that you can just do, different things, really simple things that you can do by yourself or you can do with someone, to just kind of get you started in those spiritual practices. And I'm super committed to doing it. Yeah. Like, there are 6, there'll be 6 days between each message, and you can do the same thing each day, or you can do something different every day. And yeah, I think I'm now really like, I'm going to sew into this. I'm signed up. Like we've said, we're in the pool.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with me and see where that takes me.
Yeah. And look, I am a little naive, but I'm not so naive to think that this will be just a walk in the park and super easy breezy. I think this will be hard.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah. It will be really hard to shift our culture and my lifestyle so far is just kind of be taking the back seat. I go to youth, I do the podcast, I go to church, and that's kind of it. Mm. But really sewing in and getting into the nitty gritty. And all I can think is the words of Anna from Frozen 2, just doing the next right thing, you know? that song's just going through my head. Like, just do each little step one day at a time. Doesn't have to be huge, just something little that intentionally points you towards Jesus.
Right on. Mm. Well, let's do that this week.
Boom.
Well, if you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure that you're at one of our Sunday services this week, either online or on-site, and that you snap the Slido QR code before the sermon to get involved. If you've enjoyed the Big 3 podcast today, take the time to give a star rating and be sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. Thanks for joining us for this week's Big 3 and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big. Thank you.